Welcome to Real Flicks Reviews, or like a book club for people who hate reading. This week was James's pick, so he picked Police Academy 2, their first assignment, along with Season 1, Episode 4 of The Tick. This week we have Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Hello. Ryan Preston. So here's the description of Police Academy 2, their first assignment. When a new gang moves into town, it's up to the screwball police team to stop them. And I love the captain of the bad guys, or the leader, or...
Bobcat Goldthwait?
Yeah. I wonder if he's done a movie with his actual voice.
Yeah, wasn't that Shakes the Clown?
Because I saw him he did an interview on the Joe Rogan podcast, and it was one of those things I had to listen to it a couple of times going, this doesn't sound right.
Well, you know, he's done mostly directing the last probably 15 years.
I think longer than that.
Which that actually blew me out of the water.
After he was no longer the rabbit on the Married with Children knockoff.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that.
What was the name of that show, Ryan?
It's,
you know what I'm talking about, Ryan, right?
I do. God dang, I completely forgot about that movie. I mean, that TV show. Because it was in the late 90s that it came out.
Which one again?
Married with Children knockoff that had Bobcat Goldthwait as the bunny. The stuffed
bunny.
Oh,
that was
Unhappily Ever After.
Unhappily Ever After.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. I was trying to remember what that was called.
Gosh.
I got to look
that up. Yeah, I forgot Bobcat Goldthwait was the bunny.
You're welcome, guys.
God, I haven't seen that. Actually,
that was back in 95 when that came out to 99.
Probably,
One of my favorite gags is in that TV show. The two kids in that movie, their mother taught them, potty trained them to Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star.
Oh, yeah.
And her evil nemesis started whistling it every time she was around her. It's hilarious.
Anyways.
I honestly... This is pretty much just like the first one, but in my opinion, it's not as good. It's the same exact characters, same actors. Michael Winslow is always amazing. He's always been my favorite character in these movies. You know, I'll give it a 3 out of 5. It's not bad. It's not great. I think it just continues the trend of the movie. I think I did like the first one better personally, but the usually first... You know, sequels are a little harder to be better without being over the top. And I didn't think this movie was over the top, though. I thought they literally kept it even keel for the series.
It's pretty tame for the 80s comedies.
Oh, hell yeah. And especially a sequel.
Oh, yeah.
Well, John, if you're feeling bad, let me reassure you that you're not alone in your opinion that people thought this was worse than the first.
Yes, yes.
Although, you know, it's an overused expression, but this really is comparing two bowls of shit to each other.
That's an overused expression?
Well, at least you can use a douche and a turd sandwich.
I couldn't tell you the last time I actually heard that expression, so is that overly used in your neck of the woods?
Well, it is. And a lot of pop culture, and obviously better expressed with Matt and Dre with the douche and the turd sandwich. Yeah. But no, it's an awful movie. Just like the first one was an awful movie.
But
you laugh a few times. Honestly, I would probably have more fun if Michael Winslow was just in like a white room, just making sound effects about shit.
I'd be good with that.
I would say,
like, dude, imagine Michael Winslow just like on a YouTube channel where he's got the little screen up in the right hand corner of like. Police chase videos or something, and he's just doing all the sound effects.
See, I would say that the two things in this movie I like Steve Guttenberg pranks on, I can never remember the actual sergeant's name.
The Sard?
Yeah. No, is that the bad guy's name?
No.
Because I never remember. And Michael Winslow. Because everybody else to me is just over the top. Bubba
Mauser.
Smith's okay. He played Hightower, Tackleberry. Everybody else, I just don't enjoy, except Gutenberg's pranks and Michael Winslow harassing people, like the scene in the restaurant.
That's all that National Lampoon ever does. It's the worst formula of all time, and they cannot stop using it. National Lampoon does not make good movies. They made two good movies in like the 70s, or possibly the 80s. I don't remember which one. But
which ones are you talking about?
The original Vacation. Animal House.
Oh, Animal House.
Yeah. I liked Christmas Vacation.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah, well, I would have to go with Ryan on that one. You're pretty shit on taste if that's what the one you're going to go with. Because the original one with Chevy Chase was good. After that, it was just the same thing over and over again. Just
Chevy Chase was in three or four of them.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying the first one.
Part of it was nostalgia factor, because that movie, for some reason, was always on during Christmas time.
I had no nostalgia with that.
I liked that movie. Don't get me wrong. It's a shitty movie, but there's parts of it I enjoy.
Yeah.
That's the thing is that you almost laugh a couple of times based off of like one person's performance, but everything else is just like the dumbest shenanigans ensues type of bullshit ever.
So what do you give you this movie before we get too down the rabbit hole?
Oh, this is absolutely a one. This is an awful movie.
James,
and I love Bobcat Goldthwait, but I think even he would give this a one.
I think he's the only saving grace in this movie.
Yeah, I picked this one without the first one, just because I do love Bobcat Goldthwait. I think as far as if I looked at it, I liked him better in the third one than this one.
Right, because this one he's a bad guy, and then in this third one he's actually a cop.
Yeah.
But he plays a character who's slightly touched.
Yeah, but I went with this one. Oh, anyways. It's because I thought the whole Blue Oyster Bar was pretty funny.
But that was in the first one too, wasn't it?
No, it was in the...
No, it was in the first one, because remember that was...
Yeah, anyways. But I like that scene with Bubba Smith, the guy who played Hightower. He's one of my favorites.
Uncomfortably were the rest of the guys.
Yeah, and I do like Tackleberry. He's a fun one for me. But you pointed out the one that I always did not like in any of these films, Steve Guttenberg. Now, I give him credit because he plays the kind of comedic straight guy in this whole sequence, because as Ryan pointed out, this is basically what National Lampoon does. They take a cookie cutter comedy thing and they just throw shit at it. And you guys have to be thankful that I didn't pick Revenge of the Nerds, because this is on the same par as these guys as far as comedy goes.
The only reason why I would disagree with Revenge of the Nerds is because it's a movie that if you're a geek or you're a nerd during that time, you're always going to kind of root for him. I think it's a different thing, even though it's the same exact cookie cutter.
It really is. I mean, don't they throw Rodney Dangerfield in one of the Revenge of the Nerds, Ryan?
No.
No. Anyway.
I've seen all three.
Isn't there more?
Not that I'm aware of.
Felt like there was more. Probably because it felt like the dragon. I don't know. Just as far as comedy goes, it's a two. But the reason why I picked this one is because there was a ton of these that pumped out late 80s, early 90s. And it was just the same thing over and over and over again. It was like Rodney Dangerfield, National Lampoon, and... I was going to say there's a couple of Mel Brooks that came out around the same time, but they don't even belong in there. Except for Robin Hood Men in Tights belongs on par with these guys.
Really?
Yes. That was his worst film.
That's funny, because I know more people who like that movie and Spaceballs than more than any of his other stuff.
That's because they haven't seen anything else.
If you keep watching Spaceballs, it gets sort of worse and worse as the time goes on. There's a big nostalgia factor for Spaceballs. History of the World Part 1, Young Frankenstein, Blazing Saddles, those movies are never going to be not the greatest things ever.
Yeah.
Dracula Dead and Loving It was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And is that good or bad?
No, that one's holy shit.
Okay, because I didn't like... Yeah. I saw that one in theaters and was disappointed.
I was kind of upset that Ryan even mentioned it, because that's like Mel Brooks, like, don't mention that film.
Yeah.
Wait, that was like Mel Brooks?
Yeah. Well, it was him and Leslie Nielsen, right? Oh, no.
Yeah, that was...
Wait, because I didn't know that was... Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was Mel Brooks.
I'm trying to remember...
That's actually... I didn't know he directed that.
Well, I'm trying to remember the guy. Who was the lead character in that one?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was...
It wasn't Leslie Nielsen.
No, because Leslie Nielsen played Dracula.
Oh, it was. I'm sorry. It was Leslie Nielsen. That's right. I was trying to think of the other guy.
When was it made?
95.
Okay.
Because it was a rip... Because it was making fun of the Bram Stoker's Dracula with Keanu Reeves and... I can't remember his name at the moment. That English guy who played Dracula.
Yeah, anyways, I was trying to think. Who's the guy with the...
Talking about Gary Oldman?
Yes, thank you. I don't know why I had a brain fart on that one.
Yeah, I just saw that recently, and it was one of those, I'm like, Gary Oldman, why? Anyways.
So I would say about Steve Guttenberg's character, the only reason why I like him in this movie is because he plays the smartest character in the movie. And that's not a good thing. You somehow have cops, and it's a comedy, but everybody in this movie is stupid. There's not a smart person in this movie. And that's one of the reasons I think it was supposedly funny, because Steve Guttenberg is one step ahead of everybody because his character is smarter than everybody, which...
Right.
I don't know. I just...
No, that's what I was saying. He kind of plays a straight comedic guy.
I wouldn't even say straight comedian. I just... Well, technically, that's the role. I just don't think he pulled it off.
No, I don't think he pulled it off in any of them, actually.
But I don't think it's him. I actually think it's just this movie. Because I think
I mean, look, Steve Guttenberg is obviously a pretty charming dude, but it's just... They throw these like awful jokes at him, and this, you know.
Because the first one, I think if you did the first one as a standalone movie, you could easily say, okay, it's not his best, but it was funny. Then you do a second one and a third one and a fourth one.
And a ninth one.
And then you're just like, you know, after a while, it's you know, it's a shotgun approach to movie making. It's just not funny.
Well, yeah, and that's what we were mentioning, the fact that that's actually what National Lampoon is known for. It's just this cookie cutters that get old and not funny.
They switch it up.
Yeah, that's why all of their shit goes directly to fucking DVD.
Yeah, but they did do releases in theaters back when the Police Academy's Revenge of the Nerds and the
Revenge of the
Vacations.
Nerds, but the Revenge of the Nerds never made any money in the theaters. It made more money.
I doubt it.
No, it didn't. It made more money because it made more money because it's a cult movie more than anything. That's the only reason it ever made any money.
Yeah.
Well, that's the only reason any National Lampoons make any money.
True.
And I would say, at least with National Lampoons, they switched up the basic story, very switched up, and the characters sometimes, versus what they, you know, nowadays, you know, they just basically do the same exact movie over and over again. All the comedies are the same.
Yeah. Yeah. It's literally just an excuse to randomly show tits.
Yeah, you know what? You're right, yeah. Yeah, that's
it's
pretty
like
much what everybody was waiting for, is them to show tits, and they're like, okay, this movie's great now.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's the kind of movies you and your, you know, idiot junior high friends rent on, like, a Saturday night. You know, like, oh, my God, let us rent Animal House. I hear they show boobs in it.
It's the same reasons why bouncers like the Patrick Swayze's Roadhouse. He's kicking somebody else's ass.
True. Yeah. I see that.
I tried to like this movie. I mean, I really did, but there's nothing funny in this movie. I don't think there's anything in this movie I actually laughed at. Granted, I generally don't like comedies, but I don't think there was one scene that I even chuckled at. It was an acknowledgement of, huh, that was funny.
I think it'd just be Michael Winslow's sections.
Yeah, that's it. But he literally, like Ryan said, he could be in a white room and I'd find him funny as hell. So, I mean, that's not really saying much,
right?
Honestly.
Well, I mean, one of my favorite sequences with him is in Nice Dreams, when they're all trying to go in and get welfare food stamps or welfare checks. And he's sitting in the room and starts, like, screwing with all the insane people and gets them all laughing and going crazy. But, I was kind of bummed that after, you know, this movie come out like 80 something, and they still didn't fix the dub on Michael Winslow doing the Bruce Lee impression. I mean, like, his lips keep moving.
There was one scene that was funny. Was the scene in the restaurant with those, you know, those
when he's messing with the couple?
Yeah, those, what do you call it? They're preppy people. That was probably my favorite scene in the whole movie, and that was pretty early on.
When he just sits there and just starts making, like, weird sounds when they're chewing.
Yeah, like, you know, the guy's drinking, and he makes a loud slurping noise and makes her burp or something. Yeah, that was it. That was the funny scene to me.
Yeah, I would actually say that, yeah.
I tried really hard to like this movie. It's almost annoying how hard I tried to like this movie.
You know what? I'm fucking annoyed by how hard you apparently tried, because I don't think you gave Super this kind of a shot. You know what I mean? I don't think you sat down when I fucking recommended Super, and you're like, I'm going to really try to like this movie, because I respect Ryan's opinion.
Well, I try to like every movie I watch, and there were parts of that movie I did like. There were also part of the...
Rainn Wilson getting raped?
The biggest
sick bastard.
Yeah, that was like one of my favorite parts, by the way.
Why
am I not surprised?
My biggest problem, honestly, I don't like Rainn Wilson. I'm one of the few who just don't find his brand of comedy funny. There were parts of the movie
I
generally
liked. Fucking brand of comedy. He's an actor playing a character.
Mm.
You might not have liked his character in The Office or something, but this is a different guy.
All of his characters are like his character from The Office. I've never seen him play a different character. They're all vaguely versions of that. They're all awkward comedy.
Now I just fucking changed the pick that I was going to pick for next week. You fucked up.
I still have a gimme I've never used, so.
Well, you're going to have to use it.
Yeah.
No, see, I picked this one. I knew Ryan was just going to shit on it, but I was actually curious what you would do. Because I'm not going to argue whether or not this is a good movie. This movie sucks.
It's a comedy. Obviously, I'm going to pan it.
Well, I mean, I'm surprised at how much effort, I guess, you decided to put into like this movie.
I was watching it while playing video games, so.
I'm surprised too. I didn't even fucking bother watching it. I've seen this stupid ass movie too many times.
Yeah, I wouldn't have to bother watching it. It was like on like Saturdays for like 15, 20 years. Every Saturday they had a police academy.
I've watched this movie 3 times. I've avoided all the other ones just because I've watched everyone in the series, but I've only seen, after the first one, I've only seen this one a couple of times just because I thought it was stupid. So
I haven't seen Police Academy 7 and up. I haven't seen those.
I've seen all of them, but I haven't watched them a lot. The first one I've probably seen 10 times because I always thought it was amusing.
I would watch the Phantasm all over again rather than those.
I have no doubt. I would watch almost anything over this again.
But anyways, my opinion is not really going to change. It's going to be a 2. I don't think it's as bad as a 1. I mean, there's no reason. I guess I'll go down to a 1. There's no reason to really give it a 2, honestly.
So I'll change mine. I'll give it a 1.5 because they tried.
It's got to be the Russian judge.
I'm going to give them a 0.5 for effort.
Right.
You know,
I'm just glad I was able to bring down the average.
Yeah. So you sticking with your score, Ryan?
Shit, yeah.
So a 1? So now we're going to do season 1, episode 4 of The Tick. So James, batter it up.
I just love The Tick. And as far as I'm concerned, I mean, they nailed this going from cartoon to live action. I mean,
didn't they do a live action before this, though? This is the second attempt.
Yeah, they did with Patrick Warburton.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
No. Let's talk about that because that shit was equally awesome. It's just incredibly dated now.
I didn't like it. And I do like him, too. I like Patrick, but it's just...
Oh, excuse me. I got a correction, Ryan. He did actually do a couple other things that...
Back to Rainn Wilson again?
Yes, because I just remembered. God. He did do a few things that I've seen that weren't his awkward comedy that I liked. Sorry.
Yeah, see what he's doing here, James? He's trying to psych himself up for the Rainn Wilson movie that I'm going to pick at the end of this.
No, it was actually...
He was saying a gimme. He wants a gimme, and I'm just because
he did an episode of Numbers years ago that I remember thinking that I'd recently watched.
I didn't go very far with Numbers.
Sorry, it was just one that I remembered.
So back to The Tick. I am really glad that they decided to go non-PG on this one and actually to go take the liberties they have of being a streaming site. A streaming site that has the ability to go outside of the normal AB, alphabet channel thing where they have to keep it kind of MA.
That's the only way.
From the FCC.
Yeah. Well, I really enjoyed that.
Well, that's the only way it would have ever gotten made, because nobody would have touched this because it was obscure when it came out in the 90s. Because our generation is probably the only people who knew about it. I doubt there's a lot of kids young enough, like, after us that watched it, so.
Yeah. Anyways, but I really enjoy, I don't have the name up, the guy who plays the Tick, I really enjoy his interpretation of how the Tick is.
It seemed kind of dead on to me.
Yeah, it's like, he watched the series, like he was a fan of it or something. Anyways, But like I said, I mean, I'm really excited that they're able to take the universe and to be able to take it to its logical point of where there are certain guys who don't have a problem with killing, which is, God, why am I forgetting everybody's name today? The guy dressed up in the body armor suit that goes around killing. I think that just, I love it. So, I love the fact that they took the tick and let him fall out the window. And he's like, oh, what am I going to choose to do here? All the way
so
down.
So do you think it's going to continue? Are they going to do other seasons?
Or I hope so. I think with the fan base that's come out in support of it, which I have noticed there's actually a decent growth of fan base on this one, and it seems to be steadily growing, that they will keep going with it.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, word of mouth was what got this thing from pilot to series anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But just let you know, they did the same thing with Snakes on the Plane. So it doesn't always work in your benefit.
You're going to throw four.
Well, no, but Amazon at least has a good method where it's like, you know what? Here's the first episode. Let's let the people decide.
Oh, no. Yeah. I actually think democratizing that is the best way to do it, because you're going to get. Because if you just try to do the spaghetti approach to TV making, you're going to get less hits. No, I think it's the perfect way to
do
it.
Well, I'm excited because the same thing happened with The Punisher. You hear about that one, Ryan?
They are
taking Shane and they are doing The Punisher. Because there's been so many fans.
They announced that a long time ago.
No, they've actually confirmed it now. They announced that they were going to do it, then they let it play back to where they weren't talking about it, and then like 2 weeks ago they finally released saying, we are going to be doing it. So,
they already have like teaser trailers and shit out.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we do have a Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/RealFlixReviews. You can also catch us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and more. So now on to movie news. And
you know, I feel really bad for whoever the "and more" people are. I'm just saying.
There's a couple of really obscure podcast places I put us on.
Soul Radio.
Okay.
That's the only reason to say other, because I can never remember their name. And a movie that I'm kind of excited about, and I don't know why, is Murder on the Orient Express has some exclusive pictures out. And
I am super excited about this movie.
You are not allowed to say super anymore today.
I can't. See, now it's not my fault anymore. I apologize. I can't wait to see it. I'm hoping it's going to be as noir as like some of the pictures I've seen show.
Because they would show a guy with a handlebar mustache and then put it set place in 2015.
Yeah, can we just like not use noir anymore?
Honestly, in today's movie making, yes, they would. Hipsters.
No, they wouldn't.
Yes, they would.
You don't show those pictures and then have a modern movie. Come on.
I mean, are they going to have man buns too?
I don't understand what the problem is with man buns. What's everyone's asked for about man buns?
Call the freaking top knot. Shave the front of your head too.
I actually don't care about it, so I'm not quite sure.
You look like an idiot.
So
look, I fucking had long hair. I don't want it in my face. What do you fucking suggest?
Ponytail.
Yeah, okay, a ponytail, because that looks less weird.
What do you want?
Fine, pigtails.
You want him to look like fucking Pippi Longstocking?
Longstocking?
Exactly. That's her evil twin.
So you going to throw glitter in your beard now, too?
So production on Sony's fucking Venom solo film has been pushed back again. It's going to start filming at the end of October. The Venom movie by Sony.
Oh.
It's starring, let's see, it's Tom Holland stars as Spidey. I think it's Hardy will be Venom. I don't know. I'm excited, but not.
I'm not really excited for a Venom film. Are they going to have Carnage in it?
Well, if anything, this is he?
I'm still not excited, but it's got a little bit more interest.
My problem is like after none of the Sony Spider-Man's movie have left a good taste in my mouth after the fact. Like a couple of years later, none of them like seem as good to me.
I really dug Homecoming.
But that's a Marvel. That's not Sony. That's a Sony and Marvel, technically.
I mean, but it's the same. Are we still talking about the new Spider-Man coming out soon?
We're talking about Venom.
Well, this is about Venom. The movie.
Obviously they blew it back then. That's not even a debate.
So I'm like, I haven't had a chance to see Homecoming yet. I'm just hoping it's good because I like the character Venom. I like Carnage. Sony never, like, they get close and they just seem to drop the ball. So I just hate to see.
Let me sell you on Homecoming right now.
I've seen
Homecoming. It's like a John Hughes movie that's about Spider-Man.
I'm definitely more intrigued.
You haven't seen Homecoming yet?
No, I haven't had time.
So, Ryan, you want to get pissed off?
Sure.
Westworld's coming out in 2018.
I know, man. That freaking hurt. That sucks.
Who the hell does that?
Well, it's coming out summer of 18, right?
Yeah, but who the hell does that? They premiered in 2016, and they're doing season 2 in 2018?
Well, the question.
Yeah, well, I think it's because we're probably getting the finale of Game of Thrones in like 5 years or something.
Well, the question is, are any of the stars doing any movies in the meantime? It could be the fact that some of the stars are contractually obligated to other things.
The only one that I could see actually doing that is Anthony Hopkins.
He's a major
A-list actor.
Well, listen, also, you have to realize that, I mean, sometimes it takes, you know, from production, not like trying to actually get it sold or something, but from production through post-production is a really long process with just an hour and a half movie. These people are doing, you know, presumably like 10, 11 to 13.
How many episodes was the last season?
Like hour-long episodes.
Of Westworld, I think
so
it was 10.
So it's like trying to film and produce like 8 movies.
Oh, no, totally. I mean, it's not. So the only thing I could think of, there was a long enough delay in the filming of the second season. Maybe they were waiting to get picked up again that it caused them to be delayed a year.
Maybe.
Ooh, man, I don't know. I think when they were halfway through filming that thing, they knew it was going to be the biggest thing they make aside from Game of Thrones.
Because you're totally right. Because you got to match everybody's schedules. You got to do the filming. Then you got to do the editing. Then there's ADR in the meantime. So that there's a lot of stuff that you have to do in order to do that. So I could see that being an issue.
Well,
and then, but also there's a bunch of different units. You know what I mean? You have certain people filming on certain days.
An A unit,
They piecemeal it all together. You know.
So in the what the fuck pile, Sly Stallone says Creed's sequel will start shooting soon next year.
Wow, what? Who the hell was asking for that movie?
That's what I'm thinking. I didn't even want to see the first one.
I want to see it. I want to see it, but I'm waiting for a rainy day when the power's out. So
I don't
want
to see Blade Runner 2049 with Ryan. What's the douchebag's name who did the freaking?
I'm really excited about the new Blade Runner movie.
I don't know. They got Gosling in it, and we already know how I feel about that. I mean, that was like, wasn't that the first film we did?
Second.
We had to destroy whatever the freak that crap was.
Drive.
Was it Drive, Ryan?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was
Drive.
We wore a bloody jacket through over three quarters of the film. I mean, that was Ryan's big
Something
point.
Like that, yeah.
Mine was just he's a douchebag, and the only film that he ever did that we actually discussed was the racist one. What the hell was the
so
racist? Believer.
Believer, thank you.
And another one that I honestly just don't even care about. Angelina Jolie says she will return to work after a year off for family situation.
You mean breaking up with Brad Pitt?
I don't actually give a shit about Angelina. I never really did. I kind of liked her, but after all her movies turned out to be the same. I mean, there was one, was it Girl Interrupted, that was different than all her other movies. I just don't care about Angelina Jolie.
Duggar and Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, yeah, that too. That was another one that was awesome.
Oh, yeah, that actually was. Since we're on the Angelina Jolie thing, have you seen the pictures of the upcoming 2018 version of Tomb Raider?
I'm excited about that.
I'm really excited for it, too.
I'm super stoked, too. I think people kind of took the lead from the video games that were going crazy. And they weren't even, like, big, giant, huge releases of video games. It was just, like, people liked that version. You know?
It was actually pretty underground as far as video games go.
Because that was
But this one is definitely reminding me a lot of that. It's just like this this chick who, like, the more earnest version of it, instead of, you know, all these backflips and crazy guns that she's carrying around.
And short shorts and big boobs.
Well, yeah, that was Angelina Jolie's, which she was the sex symbol, is which, if you actually... And if anybody actually knows about that, is that's what the video game character became. Don't ask me how.
For like eight years.
It became a sexual character. Yeah. And the reason Angelina Jolie had to work with. No, she did it on purpose. I mean, come on.
Well, I'm saying that's what she really had to work with as far as her backstory.
That's the reason why she was picked. Because if they wanted a more earnest person, a more earnest representation of a female hero, they would have picked somebody else than her.
Well, when you pick Angelina, they were basing it. They were basing it off of the original game, which was exactly that. It was just like, wow, you guys really went live action with this, huh?
Dude,
this is a bloody cartoon.
I knew so many guys that are like, hey, if you do this, you can see your boobs bounce. I'm like,
a pixelated boob?
Why do you care?
I'm excited about this because I liked the reboot of her character. I loved. Not only because the character actually realistically looks like a woman, but the fact that she's
grittier is what I would use.
Grittier, she's more vulnerable. There's actually depth to the character besides basically a female Rambo.
Yeah.
Well, look, I like the idea that they're just going to simply go with, like, look, here's a person who knows this thing about like ancient artifacts and tombs and things, but nobody really ever gets attacked in tombs. So the fact that she would be carrying guns is obviously silly. But having these extreme things thrust upon her and having her adapt to the situation, that's the hero story that everybody likes.
So yeah, true. Before we end and Ryan tells what movie he's talked about, I want to give a moment of silence because it's great news. Shia LaBeouf has been cut from the Indiana Jones franchise. I am so happy about that. Now, if we can only the fourth one.
I was going to say, if only we could end the Indiana Jones franchise.
I kind of agree with that. I think Crystal Skull did a damn good job of that, but obviously not.
The biggest problem, I think they could have gone a couple of ways. I think they could have done a younger Indiana Jones. They could have tried to do the James Bond thing. What they tried to do and failed was have a character that will take over the mantle of Indiana Jones. And obviously picking Shia LaBeouf was the stupid choice, along with being an incredibly stupid movie.
My issue, and this is nothing against Harrison Ford. This is just what happens with age.
The geriatric crusade.
He's got old man moobs going on. I mean, we all saw it in the Star Wars.
You mean the male pattern ass loss has nothing to do with it, too, because his baggy pants?
I wasn't going to keep going on his body type, but I'm just saying that, I mean, you look old and brittle now. I mean, what are you trying to prove?
Well, see, I think what they were trying to do, I think they were going to try to have him be his dad. And you're going to have old Indiana Jones. You're going to have Shia LaBeouf character.
Sean Connery,
do that.
I guess, is still alive.
Well, yeah, but not in that universe.
It's a different
universe.
Well, no, because
that,
his dad was dead in the fourth one. They were going to do is they were going to have Indy play the old professor, Shia LaBeouf, or Boof, or however you say his name, be the guy who goes out and be the adventurer. The problem, besides the fact that movie is freaking stupid compared to any of the original three.
Well, look, like minus the ageism that James was putting forth there, I agree with him that he's an older guy and he's got old man moves. So I don't exactly expect this guy to be like swinging from a whip into a moving car. You know, like that kind of you don't do that. You're going to break a hip just landing on a soft cushion.
Like I said, that's why I was expecting them to do it differently. That's why I think what this movie was supposed to be was.
I know, I agree, and I don't think that's off the table.
I don't.
You know what I mean? I don't. I think you just replace the character. Call it a day.
If they do it right, I think what they should do is just completely ignore the fourth one. Like basically a reboot after the third.
They wouldn't do that. It's not the Hulk. It's the fourth movie in this long canon.
So I like that. That was well played, Ryan. It's not the Hulk.
Well, I'm saying, but that's it's a one-off movie. It's not like somebody remade the third Hulk movie. Well, you know what I mean? You couldn't just remake the fourth Indiana Jones movie say, no, this is number four, not the one before.
No, I'm just saying...
This has to be an extension of the universe, but just ditch Shia LaBeouf. That's not a problem.
What I'm saying is just not...
I mean, they got rid of Short Round.
What I'm saying is just not acknowledge the fourth one.
It's still
there.
Remember...
But just not
remember
talk about
when Marcy Darcy changed husbands and married with children and everyone was all fucking pissed off.
Yeah.
No one's going to have those feelings when they see a new, you know, Indiana Jones son.
Yes. No, I don't disagree. I just hope they don't acknowledge the fourth one because
they had a blood test. He was wrong and they killed him.
That was the RoboCop 3 of Indiana Jones.
I mean,
movies.
Look, the only way you could ignore that is if he wakes up from a coma and it was all a dream.
I'm okay with that, actually. I'm totally cool with that.
He wakes up in a refrigerator.
They could totally do
wakes up in a refrigerator with a coma.
They could totally do the Bob Newhart ending, and I would be fine with it if they started that way. So, ladies and gentlemen, next week is Ryan's pick. So, well, for better or worse, Ryan, you're up.
Well, just to piss off Charney.
And James.
2008, Rainn Wilson classic, The Rocker.
James, what do you think? Isn't a movie in 2008 a little early to be calling a classic?
It's Rainn Wilson. It's automatically a classic.
Because if you're going to go that far, technically you could call Transformer a classic.
Yeah, but who's going to do that?
A lot of people, believe it or not.
No, this is it's actually a cool little sort of an indie movie.
That's the one where he was in a school, right, with the kids.
Is sort of he was the original member of a rock band, like a famous 80s rock band, and then sort of fallen on hard times.
That's right.
And the movie is about him joining his nephew's rock band, like garage band style.
So James,
Tunnel Heart. It's actually a really cool movie.
Do you have?
And he's not annoying. He's kind of fucking hilarious.
Right.
Do you have a TV series, James? Do you have a TV series?
Actually, I don't.
Really?
Yeah. I just went through everything I've been watching, and no, I really don't have a TV series right now. Huh.
Okay, then I'm going to pick one that's going to be random, but I think the discussion is going to be hilarious.
Knight Rider?
Season 1, Episode 1 of the 1967 version of Dragnet. Because this is going to be hilarious, because I love the 67, the 60s version of Dragnet, but this is going to be a funny discussion.
That works for me.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I gave Police Academy 2 a 1.5 out of 5. James gave it a 1. Ryan gave it a 1. We are doing The Rocker with Rainn Wilson and Season 1, Episode 1 of Dragnet 1967. And as always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye. We'll be right back.